Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum.
My name is Charles Olson. I'm with Whiting Petroleum, and I'm the completions manager for the Northern Rockies asset, which covers the Williston Basin.
And we're here today talking about reef racks, kind of stemming off of the Western Dakota Energy Association annual meeting, and honestly, the Petroleum Council's annual meeting, and a lot of annual meetings in the Bakken are talking about the reef rack procedure. In fact, I'd almost want to call 2017 the year of the reef rack, it seems, because it seems to have been the driving force behind the Bakken. Talk to me about your guys' role at the reef racks and your presentation, if you would, please, at the annual meetings.
Sure. So, first and foremost, we did participate in the 2016 North Dakota Petroleum Conference annual meeting in Minot, and we gave our initial talk on reef racks up there, and then most recently, we gave a presentation for the Western Dakota Energy Association here just last week, and that was also on reef racks. It was a little more abbreviated as we were participating with a couple other folks, Marathon and a representative from the EERC on reef racks and enhanced oil recovery in general.
And how would you call that panel? Because, you know, a few years ago, we weren't hearing much about the reef racks. And then you're right, around last year, the annual meeting, we kind of heard a little bit about it. And then this year, as much as a panel where you've got the ERC, Marathon, yourself, and Justin Kringsted moderating the panel. So just kind of, what was your impression, whether from Whiting's perspective or looking at the overall industry over the past year, just kind of the trend when it comes to reef racks?
Sure. There's been an uptick in the interest in reef racks in the Williston Basin, other basins as well, but the Williston Basin in particular, there have been several companies, Whiting, although we've not done a bunch of them yet, we've taken a fairly measured approach on our candidate selection, and we're cautiously dipping our toe into the water. We think there's a bright future with reef racks, but we understand that we need to proceed cautiously as we go back to these others. Marathon in particular has had some, several very successful reef racks and reworkings of older wells. And the primary driver behind this has been in the last 11 years or so, just the technology revolution when it comes to drilling and completing horizontal wells, not only in the Bakken, but other areas. And, we recognize that those early efforts lack because those technologies simply weren't available at the time. So although those wells, if left alone, might recover less, we see them as an opportunity now to apply reef racks and get more out of those wells, with what we know now.
For me, one of the exciting things of this story of the reef racks is you're starting to see how a few years ago, in fact, the second story that we did back in 2012 was that the Bakken isn't an oil boom, it's a technology boom. And there was several reasons for that: the integration of big data, the fracking, just the fracking technology itself. But a lot of it stemmed on the fact that a lot of the experts were talking about how currently the Bakken back then was at about 7% of known technology in order to frack these wells. And then, now I'm hearing we're anywhere around 8 to 10%. So to me, what I'm seeing is that reef rack technology happen to where they're discovering a little bit more, whether it's through the ERC or whether it's through the private sector, through Whiting, or you mentioned Marathon was having some good results when it comes to the reef rack. Is that what we're seeing here? Is that as they understand more and more of the shale play and the technology, depending on whether it's location, because I understand everyone is different, but as the technology advances, you're going to see more of these refracts happen because that's kind of the longevity of the play. Am I kind of reading these tea leaves right?
You know, those are interesting comments, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Certainly, the percentages you threw out kind of ring a bell in terms of accuracy. I won't comment on them so much as I will just the general philosophy is, again, we're through fracking technology, we're seeing better and better results on newly completed wells, and we've recognized that we can go back to these older wells, apply a lot of that same those same learnings to refracts, and certainly increase the reserves that we draw out of these older wells. And the real interesting thing about the refracts is it's a very general term. What we're finding now is there are many ways to rework these wells that sort of fall into that general category, and it's starting to feel like all these subcategories are catching a lot of interest and yielding more and more opportunity, under the general umbrella of refrac.
So when we're talking about refrac, do you have an easy way or a very layman's way to describe the difference between a regular frac and a refrac? Because my understanding is that a lot of the same materials are used, aren't they?
That's correct. So a frac is short for hydraulic fracture stimulation treatment, and the technology itself is not new. It's 70 years old, but the goal, and I think I mentioned this the other day, is basically to create a highly conductive path between the formation and the wellbore, and that allows us to accelerate and enhance the recovery. And how we do it, I'll boil it down. We pump water, sand, and a cocktail of very safe chemicals at a high rate, and we do that in the excess of the ability for fluid to leak off into the formation. So we pump it faster than it can leak off, and what happens is that allows us to split the rock open, and then we wedge it open with all that sand that we're pumping. Now, that's a frac. A refrac is very much the same way. We're pumping into a well that's already been fracked. It might have hundreds of fracs that we've already put on it, or it might only have tens of fracs. But really, we're coming back to these old wells that already have fracs in them. They have sand in them. Some of our refrac's going to go there, and it's going to serve the purpose of dressing up those old fracs. They might be sort of degraded or plug off, and the refrac itself, the secondary portion of it that we pump, or even the bulk of it, we hope to divert into new portions of the formation along that lateral, and split open and frac new rock, new formation, and get new entry points into the reservoir that may be lightly depleted or not depleted at all.
To listen to the full-length interview with Charles Olson, completion specialist with Whiting Petroleum, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media links are available at our website, thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking with the people that I know.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.